You're listening to a podcast right now, driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.
Gamecock fans, today's Tuesday, March 24th, the year of our Lord 2026. Coffee with J.C. Sherbert. Hope you're having a fantastic Tuesday. I know if you watched the game last night, Colonial Life Arena, what a great moment for Raven Johnson, her last game at the CLA, and the Gamecock women's basketball team, 101-61. It's pretty impressive. They beat the snot out of those two teams they played, Southern and Southern Cal. I guess the real USC battle or to be competitive will have to wait until next year. The Trojans come and play in Greenville next year as part of this real USC thing. They were preseason top 10 and fell off. And so a 40-point win for the Gamecocks, who now go to Sacramento. They'll play Oklahoma in a revenge game. Oklahoma beat the Gamecocks 94-82 out in Norman. Earlier this year, one of the few SEC losses, two SEC losses they had, or one. I got to check that. Sorry. But anyway, they go out there and will play for the right to go to the Elite Eight. Now, what's interesting is in the other bracket, Virginia, amazingly enough, Dawn Staley's alma mater upset Iowa, the two seed. So they'll play TCU. So there's connections. Jeremiah Donati and Dawn Staley have connections to TCU and Virginia. Should the Gamecocks beat the Sooners in advance? And then the Final Four is out in Phoenix. So some West Coast travel if you follow, if you're a member of the FAMs and follow around. And look, I'm just going to be honest. If you're out there listening and you go to the games, go to the airport early until they fix this mess. Because, boy, it's challenging time, and I can't imagine anyone's going to road trip it on the highway out to Phoenix or Sacramento, especially Sacramento. So anyway, you guys travel safe, and certainly very happy for that. We have baseball tonight, but first there were some changes. JB will get into this in the morning show. Grayson Griner is in today to talk about that along with Preston Thorne. Stuart Lake, we all know and love and admire Stuart. And Stuart's been on the staff here a bunch, 8 years at the College of Charleston, knows ball, as you all know. Unfortunate thing for us, I think it's going to take away the Friday conversation with Stu and Bradford on baseball. But, you know, whatever's best for the program, obviously. Not the morning show program, but the Gamecocks program. And Stuart just has a great way of relating to players and knowing the game. And so he steps into the program development role. Chris Gordon will now be what's called an on-field coach. See, kind of Maneri's spot, and as a head coach, obviously. But they call him Gordo. He's already was involved tag teaming with the pitcher. So I think he's going to kind of take the reins a little bit of the pitching situation. Terry Rooney still on staff. Jamie may have some more information on that later today. Noah Wise steps into the director of operations role. William Mann is now the hitting analytics director. And Owen Moline Freeman is the pitching analytics director. So all those changes announced by Monty Lee yesterday. And then there's a game tonight. This is important. It's important anytime you play the University of North Carolina when you're at the University of South Carolina. And in the sport of baseball, these matchups have happened with a lot on the line, with not a lot on the line. I like the fact they play every year in Charlotte. I think it makes sense. It's good for both fan bases. There is a ton of Gamecock alums in Charlotte. So at Truist Park. I guess they got Truist Park. I guess you got Truist near Truist Park in Atlanta. Anyway, the Truist Park in Charlotte. Tar Heels and the Gamecocks will be playing tonight. Connor Cicoli is starting for the Gamecocks. He's 1-1 with a 3.0 ERA. He's normally their midweek starter. And listen to this, the most Tar Heel name ever. Boston Flannery Jr. He's 1-0 with a 1.74 ERA, 11 walks, 8 strikeouts this year. By comparison, Connor's 17 walkouts. I mean, sorry, 17 strikeouts and 5 walks. Reading baseball stuff off of my notes, man, it just doesn't go all that well for me. I don't know why. Basketball news. First of all, G.G. Jackson with a good night last night in the NBA. Wanted to give a shout out there. And you may be wondering, why do we care? Well, you care because the Gamecocks, one of the things this program has not had a lot of is NBA success through the years. Alex English was probably the most successful one. They've had some guys that have played, not quite made it. Even some of the best players, Devin Downey, Sedarius Thornwell, kind of got a cup of coffee there, and that was it. Dozier's hung around. But Jackson, 26 points in 30 minutes. Now, his team lost the Atlanta Hawks 146-107. So I don't know if anybody's playing defense for Memphis. Kyler Murray Bull is also in a shootout, 143-127. Toronto won its game, 9 points in 17 minutes. So those two guys, it's good for the program the better they do. I know my stepson plays fantasy NBA basketball, and apparently it's really popular. He knows all the players. He knows these guys. I think he took G.G. Jackson last year. So I say all that not to say that, we need to get into that on coffee every morning, but because you're reaching the young people and recruiting and stuff, and if they know who your players are and they play in the association, that's good. It's just like in the NFL, in football or Major League Baseball and baseball. So that's good there. By the way, first pitch, 6:30 tonight. It from Charlotte, and it will be on ACC Network Extra. So that network that it was the Clemson series, boy, that was tremendous production, wasn't it? on Saturday and Sunday, that you get that again. So the Tar Heel announcer, so I'm assuming it's a North Carolina home game, and they'll bat in the bottom of the inning. More attrition, speaking of men's basketball. E.J. Walker's in the portal. Eli Ellis got in the portal along with Jordan Butler during the show yesterday. So those three are out. They join Elijah Strong. Not surprised. What I was told about Eli Ellis was it was a situation where there was just kind of, and with all these guys, really, there's kind of a disconnect. I mean, between individually how good some of these guys thought they were this past year and kind of what the reality was of that. And with that comes financial demands these days. And I mean, Carolina could have paid to keep them. They got an expanded budget, but I can certainly appreciate the valuation based in reality. And Eli was class about it on X. He said he appreciated the fans and all that good stuff. But I think once his brother jumped, decommitted and went with Louisville, the writing was on the wall there. And so away he goes, and we'll see where he lands. E.J. Walker was the one guy I could make a case for keeping, but, he's in the portal anyway. And so they won't be the last. Jordan Butler, to me, they kept him last year because they thought they could work with him, and there's some potential there. But, we were talking yesterday. Somebody in the chat box said maybe Furman, something like that. He's from Greenville. Maybe needs to go down a level. And then Elijah Strong. Hey, Wes Miller just got the Charlotte job. I think that'd be a great spot for him. Who knows? But so more attrition will happen. We'll see who they pick up in the portal, see if they can flip this roster. There'll be more coaching changes, personnel additions. A lot of news will be coming out of men's basketball here directly. So that's kind of the long and short of it. Don't forget, tomorrow night, Gamecock softball plays Clemson as well as the rivalry renews. They need some good things to happen win and loss wise, especially in the SEC. Ashley Chastain Woodard's team, tough, another tough weekend, losing 2 out of 3 to LSU. But it's a long season, as we know. Gamecock football coaches, 4 assistants talked yesterday as we transition into what we like to talk about here on Coffee. And it, didn't learn a whole lot about a lot, but today's focus topic is going to be on something that's probably we haven't touched on a whole lot, a position, a room that we haven't touched on, and kind of been doing some research on it, and then listened to Sean Elliott talk about it yesterday, and then went back and kind of did some digging. So we're going to talk tight ends, and sort of lay all that out, because it's kind of a mystery when you go to this type of offense with Kendall Briles, is that, for years South Carolina's had success at tight end. They've had a string of good tight ends. Josh Simon was the latest one. Before that, he and Trey Knox were really good. You had the year where you had Jaheim Bell there and 147 other ones that the former OC wanted to get into 13 personnel and run with. But and then you had the Nate Adkins situation. He's still in the NFL. And Nate ended up being a great player and a difference maker down the stretch for that 2022 team. Nick Muse before that, you go all the way back. And then, all the way back to Jared Cook, really. Carolina's been blessed with good tight ends. And what's interesting about it is really before Jared Cook, Andy Boyd was there. Boomer Foster was one of my favorite players in the 90s. He played Sparky Woods, Brad Scott. He's a heck of a player. Before that, it was like really Willie Scott, Danny Smith. Willie Scott was early 80s. He played in the NFL. So, prior to the 2000s, tight end was not exactly, a glamour position. And I can go ahead and list, Jarrell Adams, Busta Anderson. I'm not leaving out Hayden Hurst, obviously. Kyle Markway made some big plays when he was at South Carolina. You had a lot of really good tight ends. There were some good tight ends coaches too that have recruited well at that position. And Sean Elliott, I think, is continuing it. Tough year last year at that spot, really, but it was a tough year for the whole passing game. Anybody that blocked or anybody that, I guess you could make a case for getting a lot of balls, it just wasn't, you weren't gonna get much out of that with that offense. But we're gonna dig into that part of it. Randy Clements, though, talked about the viral stupid video. Love what he said. He said, my methods are unorthodox. He said, well, they're sort of unorthodox, but he said it's there's a reason why we do it. He explained why he did it, and he said it, he explained it, translated into the games. He got into some ball talk, and listen, man, I'm going to tell you this right now. As bad as South Carolina's offensive line has been, number one, number two, you've got a lot of new players this year. It's a mystery, and left tackle is up in the air. That's the, really important spot. And then number three, there's not a lot of great offensive lines around college football, right? Not a lot. I can't even name. Indiana was probably the best one. Everybody had issues. Alabama had issues last year. They had Proctor out there, some other guys. They changed coaches because of it. Just wasn't. It's not an epidemic. Because some people are like, it's an epidemic. And then they use the star ratings and all this other crap about, and they, oh, Ohio State's not 12, 15 deep anymore. Well, the portal, brother, you don't sub on the O-line a lot. So if you're like the ninth guy, you're pretty good. You're probably going to go someplace to start. I think Vanderbilt had a good offensive line last year. But that's a system, and South Carolina's going to a system. He was talking about it. He's like, and then at the end, he just said, I don't care. He's like, I got attacked for that, but I don't care. He also said there's a story behind it. I think the first guy that's based out of Dallas, all these people, if you remember, Clements worked at TCU last year. There's probably some, that's my speculation. Like, there's probably some history there. But he kind of got it stirred up. And then I guess some of his draft guru cronies that, you've never heard of these people before. I mean, the guy in Dallas at least has trained individual players, but there's a difference between, look, it's the job of trainers to train guys, right? Individually. Offensive line's not an individual position. It's the job of Randy Clements to get five guys ready to go win games for the South Carolina Gamecocks. And at the end of the day, I think that, you've heard too much about NFL and getting ready for this, getting guys ready for the next around here. It's about winning games in the SEC. And if, and frankly, after everything that, has happened, An unorthodox method, if that works, do it. I think it should be the old school as possible. And he's done it 24 years. And with Kendall Briles, with the maybe the exception of the 19 season at Florida State, and they had Willie Taggart just, I don't know what's going on there. He's been right there. He was with Art Briles, this is the guy. So I like the system fit and I like what he said. Deion Barnes, really good interview with him too. Travion Robertson had some great things to say about the recovery and stuff. We're probably going to play that on the show. It's inspirational. I covered Travion as a recruit. Obviously, I think he's one of the best D-line coaches around, has a passion for it. Just a terrible what happened to him. But, folks in life, the successful people, it's like you said, suffering brings success. And that stuck with me. Great interview with him. Also talked, kind of like we've been talking about the freshmen and the portal guys. They look like they're going to hit, so then you got Brownlow Dindy and Pikes and Ingram and Williams back. And, we'll see how all of that goes. And he talked about working with Deion Barnes. Said Deion Barnes, Shane Beamer said Deion Barnes was a lot like him, which is good. That's good news, I think. Sterling Lucas did a great job, don't get me wrong. But, if you're going to go replace a really good coach, you probably need to go get a really good coach. And the Gamecocks look like they have one. Now his room's banged up. And, depending on who's healthy, and I'm not talking about Dylan Stewart, so don't go worrying about that. Okay. I was told he'll be back and playing. But, some of these other guys, if they don't get healthy and you're thin, it may not look that way. It may not look all that great. Big difference coaching Kyle Kennard and Dylan Stewart on each end and having depth behind them and, other scenarios. However, I thought, Caleb, what he said about Caleb Herring playing the run. Super positive because that's what I'm worried about. I mean, all these guys have pass rushing skills. I mean, if George Wilson can make it back, that's what he is, a pass rusher, but he's 233 pounds, So, how's he going to hold up when they run power play to his side, and having Barnes talk about Caleb Herring's ability to play the run, I thought was very significant because that's something when you kind of watch what tape is out there on Caleb Herring. You see some run defense, but you don't necessarily, because he's kind of a taller, leaner guy. Like whereas Kennard was about 260, this guy's probably 245, 250, leaner, taller, kind of lankier dude. But hey, if he can play the run, great. I'm all for it. And he's an SEC experience, man. That takes the floor up a little bit. As far as a guy that's played in the league and start this league and things like that. Had some good things to say about Julian Walker too, and the excitement continues to grow for him. So a nice set of interviews there yesterday with those guys, but the tight ends, right? Now, this is interesting because the big question that I've had and others have had about the Kendall Briles offense, you kind of look at it, you look back at Baylor and you go, well, there's, a way for a dual threat quarterback to get it going. There's a way for a passer to get it going. And all those guys, it's great for receivers and backs. It's tempo, it's exciting, it's creative, aggressive, creative, and fun. But the tight ends in the Briles offense, in the 90s and then moving forward, not in the 90s, that was at Stephenville High School, but at Baylor, it wasn't a big tight end deal there. They weren't really all that big on it. And then that kind of changed, by the time Kendall Briles got to Arkansas, remember Trey Knox was one of their weapons out there in 2022. He ended up at South Carolina. Dowell Loggins coached those tight ends for Arkansas. They used a tight end at TCU. It went up from about 6%, according to some research Bradford did, to about 18% of the catches. So they will use it, but the question is how. Carolina's got kind of a room where you got some guys that are good at some things, some that are good at others. From what Sean Elliott said yesterday, they're all kind of good at various things. What he called them was the adjusters of the offense. Now, here's what I think that means, or what I believe that means. You look kind of at the history of Briles, and there are times like Baylor had a 400-pound tight end. Now, he's basically an offensive lineman. Now, they'd up and throw him the ball every now and then, right? And everybody, oh, great. But he's an extra blocker. So they'll use it like that if they need it. Like I said with Trey Knox, when they were at Arkansas, they'd split him out because they weren't great at receiver. They were good, but not great. This was after Treylon Burks left. And so he was primarily a receiving threat. You know, they'll use an H-back fullback type in a two-back system. So you start thinking about Maurice Brown or Brady Hunt, who I think could also line up there. You know, Max Drag as a fullback type. You know, so I think what Sean Elliott means by that is, you know, when the offense, you know, here's what we need, here's what we got to go attack with, and this is where you're going to line up. And Elliott said it's kind of radically different than what they did, and that's kind of what I've been it's what I've been saying. It made me feel good because I don't want to call it a guess, but I assumed correctly that you're not just going to see. You know, sometimes in certain offenses, and it's fine to do this. I mean, you know, I don't know this most creative thing in the world. Your tight ends are tight ends, and then they're either attached, and then they'll split them, you know, and then they do this, and this, and then your receivers are your receivers, and your if you have a fullback, it's a fullback, and you know, whatever. That happens 90% of the offenses out here in this system. In this system, though, in a given week, the tight end could be doing a number. So, you know, I think it's exciting and will be exciting for me and lovers of ball to kind of figure out and or tr I'm sorry, not figure out track this year. You know, what are they doing? Is it an extra lineman? Is it an H-back? And probably all of the above. And those little subtle changes when you're and from what I've observed in a tempo offense, that can really cause matchup problems because you have one game where guys that, you know, it's two back and you've got an H back. And it's a, you know, they hadn't seen it. And then you're running tempo. It's hard to adjust. And then it all helps in the blocking, you know, blocking, blocking, blocking. That's everything. And all that plus passing game and all that good stuff. So that's good. So the personnel, it's an interesting year because, you know, you can make a case for a lot of these guys, in different ways. Maurice Brown, who's a player that I unfortunately forgot to mention when I was talking tight ends a couple of weeks ago, and I remembered it as soon as I got off. And he's an unforgettable player. I mean, this guy's made tons of special teams plays. He's an explosive athlete. Will always have the first play of the 2025 season when all of us thought, man, this is going to be a great offense. And I like him. You know, I what I saw from him last year sometimes was hands. You know, especially at the end, there's some drop passes there. But I do think based on Elliott's comments and just who he is, getting the ball in his hands is probably smart. I mean, he's a beast with the ball. And so of course he came up 1 yard short. Like God, how many times Carolina get 9 yards on a play they needed 10 last year. But he's very explosive and all that. But Elliott did give some insight as to why he hadn't been playing, and it wasn't hands. He talked about it in the classroom, and he said that Maurice gets going so fast because he is a very intense player. That sometimes he's going too fast and he forgets assignments and things like that, which can hurt you, especially when you're trying to block. And you know, there's a lot of assignments in tight end because they kind of do it all on a play, given play. So, and you got to run routes and know you got to know that. But I'd be very surprised if he didn't get there right this year. And I think you can line this guy up all over the place, and if he gets it and gets it down, he can make plays. Now, the starter, in my opinion, is probably Brady Hunt. And Elliott said he's kind of the forgotten man. Really good hands. He said some of the best hands on the team. I can buy that. I can definitely buy that with regards to his hands. I thought last year he's inconsistent as a blocker without knowing what definitely were his assignments. But from what Elliot said, like the opposite of, when Brown, it's got to get that game knowledge and slow down in his processing. He said Brady was one of the smartest guys on the team. And kind of alluded to the fact Brady could have a big year. Now, Pat DeMarco, who we have on the show, he mentioned that when Kendall Briles was hired, that he thought Brady Hunt would be a guy you could fit in to this style of offense and he could do really well. The hands part of it's critical, I think, because he's a guy that when teams least expect it, you need 4 yards on a third and four, you throw a 5 or 5, 6 yard out pattern, something simple. And he gets it. That's a first down. We've seen tight ends kill the Gamecocks like that in previous years. Healthy now, ready to go. The Ball State transfer was a big win out of the portal for Carolina. Really older player, leadership. You're looking for a guy that could be a leader. And I think, my theory on Brady a little bit is in the Coastal game when they lined him up and he took the direct snap and scored two touchdowns. That's probably got him going a little. In 2024, he had some hard luck. I mean, he caught a pass on a fake punt in the opener for a touchdown, or maybe it's a fake field goal. I think fake field goal against Old Dominion, and it was called back because of a penalty. And then against Oklahoma, they were about to go up 39-3. They called a fake field goal, and that was the one time Kai Kroger did not get out there, and he was a little late on the pass, and so it was incomplete. But he would have walked in the end zone. Those are two unfortunate things. And then he finally gets going against Missouri with the catch of the year almost on third down from Lenoris, and he gets hurt. And he's out again. So struggling with injuries. He was healthy last year, but Hunt, keep an eye on him. That this could be a guy that. You hear more from this year, and I think he will develop into that leader. I was told that by a couple of folks before Elliot said it. So, Brady Hunt, keep an eye on him. Remember, he came from Ball State. A lot of teams wanted him. Looked like he may flip to A&M, and the Gamecocks ended up getting him, and he's been here ever since. So, really interesting to hear that about him. And that's a player maybe we don't talk about a whole lot. But you can keep your eye on there. Mike Tyler going into his second year from Hammond. Hammond kids, as we know from watching Jordan Burch and Boogie Huntley, sometimes they take a year. Now, I thought when he got in last year and he played a bunch of special teams, he looked good doing it. He's about 6'4", 240. Elliott really sung his praises. And that kind of aligns with some things that we've heard. I think actually JB mentioned it on the morning show about Mike Tyler. Local player flipped him from LSU. They saw something in him, and so did the Gamecocks. Said he runs good routes. He's athletic, physical blocker, all that good stuff. So there's another option for the Gamecocks back there. Mike Tyler, big recruiting win. Always want to keep your local guys at home. And going into a second year, that's most of the time it's the third year that you really kind of look for players to kind of do or die in some way. Some take 4 years, but this position, second year, you can really do some damage. That was what's so disappointing about what happened with Michael Smith last season. He's at Ole Miss now. Could have come back to Carolina, but Ole Miss now. So there you go. And then Max Drag, who I mentioned, Chapin, another local player. Elliot really likes this guy. He's the blue collar physical. Darren Usher talked about it. Hand in the dirt, blocks you. That kind of dude, just brings a physicality to the table. So, you look at this and well, Maurice Brown's that way too. So you talk about blocking and getting after people, getting after the butts on that side of the ball, getting after defenders. Max Drag is a guy to look out for. They got him in the portal from UCF. He was at App State originally. Elliott said he recruited him at Georgia State. He was an old defensive lineman coming out of Chapin High School, but Elliott called, said he called it at the at camp at Georgia State. You're going to be a tight end. So that's another guy, blue collar guy, in-state kid, happy to be home, can really help as far as to be that adjuster in this offense. You know, whatever they want him to do, but definitely a blocking type guy because of his physicality and strength. And you know, guys like this help on special teams as well. You need tight ends on special teams too. I mean, they're very useful for fakes and blocking and all that good stuff. And of course, Maurice Brown, he blocks kicks. He's on the other side. So good to have him back in that regard. I wonder how many punts or kicks, probably punts, Maurice Brown will get to. Boy, he almost had that one against Clemson, huh? Disappointing day that day. That was one of many moments that could have changed the outcome of that game. But we'll always remember the one at LSU. And he's just a great special teams player. And that cannot be understated. And I think if they get him the ball offensively, he's got a chance to do some things this year. Caden Ramsey's coming in this summer. Elliot, and you know, you folks know I love Caden Ramsey. I love players from small town South Carolina. Elliot alluded to that in the press conference. You can go check that out. You know, I some coaches from around the state think he's more of a receiver. But Elliot mentioned he's already up to 220 at 6'5" with a great wingspan. I've gone on and on about the fact he led the state in interceptions as a junior. I thought it was a typo. I'm like, wow. Number one, for a 6'5" guy to be back there with those kind of ball skills and ball hunting skills, that's impressive. And then number two, who's throwing the ball at the 1A level in South Carolina that much to where Caden Ramsey gets 14 picks in a season? Why are you throwing it toward him? Anyway, that's a lot of interceptions. So he's just a football player, and he's coming in this summer. And Elliott said maybe by this time next year, he'd be up to 250. That's a monster. So circle him. I don't know how much he'll play this season, but circle him. Now look, Kendall Briles, though, is a different guy than these other coordinators. If there's a dude that can do like one good thing, he'll put him out there, and they'll do the one good thing, right? You know, he's not afraid to do that. So I'm not going to sit here and say a definite red shirt, a probable red shirt, I would say. But the 250 thing, you know, for him to have that kind of, you know, body type that can add that weight, that's very exciting for a player. You know, played quarterback, played all over for Cross, home of Rodriquez Wilson, former Gamecock linebacker and linebackers coach here for a minute, back in the NFL now, I think. But Caden Ramsey, that's going to be one of those pickups that we all look back on from the state, I think, as long as he stays healthy and develops and all that, that we go, man, what a get there. And I know just from what I picked up last summer when I was in town for the wing eating contest, because at the time, you know, they had Jamel House committed. They ended up, he visited App State, and they're like, oh, you want to go to App State? Go on. And so that was that, the kid from Newberry. And then there's other kid from Orangeburg that signed with Vanderbilt, Ridley. Ridley? He's a good-looking player, you know, from, I think, Orangeburg Prep. And he just decided to go to Vanderbilt. Family was a Clemson family anyway and was just really into Vandy and went. But that was around that time, and they weren't too worried about losing him because they knew they were going to go get Caden Ramsey. So that's the story there. It's a story, and I'm sticking to it. You know, so this group is going to really be an important part of the offense, whether or not they're throwing the ball to him or they're blocking or, you know, in the backfield or attached or split out, whatever. These guys can really solidify things for you. You know, especially let's just say, you know, the offensive line's good, not great, and you know, they need extra blockers in and stuff. I've seen Browse offenses do that before. Like I said, they had the 400-pound guy out there and those six offensive linemen out there and roll. You know, I think it'll make a lot more sense, you know, than maybe some things that we've seen around before. I mean, you know, Dowell Loggins did the best job, I think, of utilizing the tight ends of the three coordinators Beamer's had. That's not counting Mike Bobo, who didn't actually coach in a game for Beamer. I think Mike Bobo did a great job utilizing the tight ends because all he really had besides Shai Smith was Nick Muse in 2020. And Muse caught a bunch of passes and did a great job. But, wasn't really a huge fan of what Satterfield wanted to do with it. Wasn't really a huge fan of Shula's passing game in general. I thought it was kind of restrictive, but this is kind of a free, a lot of people talk about playing free. That was kind of a theme in the press conference. So press conferences is free, so I think that going out there, getting that done, playing free, I think Elliott said that. That's important, I think, for the tight ends. And it's exciting to embrace the challenge. So keep an eye on this room. A lot of options. Brady Hunt specifically could be a guy maybe we're not talking about enough. Mike Tyler's progressing. Maurice Brown is going to be a big part. Mo Brown's going to be a big part of. I say Maurice because Carolina had a receiver in the 2000s named Mo Brown from Westside. Covered him as a recruit. We all remember him. Great kid, great leader. Got into politics, ran for office. So when I say Mo Brown, that makes me think Mo Brown. But they call him Mo Brown. They'll call him Maurice. Some people call me Maurice, right? But so I'm not trying to be all official there, but Mo Brown, Maurice Brown, I think if they can get him down and slow him down a little bit to where he processes better, I think getting him the ball is a smart thing. I'm going to stick with the hands thing too. I think, consistent hands are very important. So there you go. Those are the adjusters on the offense this year. Shane Beamer is talking to the media today. So we got more football in addition to everything else going on. We'll see if there's more basketball departures that occur today. Should be some movement there. Baseball staff has kind of been redone. Big game tonight. I don't know how many Gamecocks will show up in Charlotte tonight, but I guarantee you there will be more there than there would have been had Pulmonary not departed. So seems like everybody's trying to get behind this team now, and that's good. Now it's a fragile thing because people are still, I mean, it doesn't matter who the coach is or what the circumstance is, people are sick of losing. They've lost a lot this academic year, but there's hope again. And that feels good, I think, for most of you out there, regardless of what happens at the end of the season. It feels good to have hope and to be interested and to think, well, things have changed. And through, 19 innings of baseball, things have changed. It's a little different looking team. I don't know if they'll win tonight. I mean, you got 13th ranked team in the country. You got three games against the 7th ranked team in the country. You do play Wofford. But then you got Texas, the second ranked team in the country, coming in for three. And then you play Chad Holbrook's College of Charleston team. And then you get a little, I'm not going to say a breather, but you go out to Missouri. And there's some teams on the back end that if Carolina could just survive, that you could see a world where they could go on a run if they play well. But all this is fragile, man. I mean, losing, everybody's fired up right now. They should have won the first game. And didn't, unfortunate play at the end under Monty Lee. And then they did win the next one. One of the most, probably the most impressive, it's the most impressive game at the plate this year because it was against a good team. The Clemson game was a nice win, but they scored 7 runs, but they only had 4 hits that whole night. They had 4 home runs against Arkansas, but we know how good Arkansas's pitching is. So maybe it is a good day. Baseball, it's hard to tell because there's days where other team the your opponent has a bad day, and you just have a good one, and that happens in that sport. But we'll see what happens tonight. A win in the midweek game with North Carolina. Usually the stakes aren't all that high, although you do want to beat them in every sport every time you play them. But they're high, they're a little higher tonight for the Gamecocks. They need this one to keep that positive energy rolling. But like I said, it's baseball, and sometimes you lose. Like Monty Lee said, the key is to keep the positive energy going heading into Athens this weekend. All right, folks, we got a JC and Morgan today scheduled. Chuck Oliver is going to be on with us around 9:15. The morning show gets cranked at 10. Grayson Griner, Preston Thorne, Maybe another guest will come in, and then it's Terrible Tuesday with Mad Dog and I. Sports Talk streams tonight on the Chief Sports app with Phil and company. This has been Coffee with JC Sherbert. Hope you have a wonderful Tuesday, everyone. Thanks for talking tight ends with me. Holla.
You're listening to a podcast right now, driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.